Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we pray the blood of Jesus upon us, Lord. We're going to give some exhortation here. I pray, Lord, that you will give us some insight into your word. And minister to us yourself, Lord Jesus. Because we are nothing. We don't know anything, but you know a lot that you can teach us. Teach all of us, Lord, so that we can walk and please you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I see that we are very few, and I see young people here. So what I'm going to do is to tone down to our level. Amen? Yes. I'll tone down to our level, the level of the young people. Because I believe you guys are teenagers, you're right? You're in high school? You're in high school? Both of you? You are in high school yet? Praise the Lord. And Sarah also is in high school. My daughter is in high school. So, what I wanted to talk about today is faith. Actually, it's the same thing I wanted to talk about, whether they are not kids. I wanted to bring in what some of the disciples have preached before. But I said, well, since there are younger people here, that I want them to get something out of it. The Lord just said, well, why don't you just talk about not degrees of faith. I preached on degrees of faith before. Degrees means this 10 degrees, 20 degrees, 30 degrees. I mean, high, different levels of faith. But when you are young people, you are just knowing about the Lord, or you are knowing the Lord, you need to know that you most likely will be here. You want to come to this level to get some greater things done for you. Or you want to come to this level to get some greater things done for you. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And we take that story from the story of this man called Peter, Apostle Peter. If you have your Bible, let's make it like a teaching. Take your Bible, open to Mark, or Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read the story of Peter here. I said degrees of faith, that is different levels of faith. In Matthew chapter 14, you see the story of Peter. I was daring to do something. That's what I want to talk about. He dared to do something. And faith is, you know what people call daredevils? You know what it's called daredevils? Who are they? Tell me.
Like people who do dangerous things.
Dangerous things. I mean, that means they are not afraid. No, sir. They do dangerous things that you say, I can't do that. But they go ahead and do it. We call them daredevils. But that is what you see in the story of Peter here, dear devil. But instead of calling him dear devil, you call him dear God. He's going to dare God. So let's read that story, Matthew chapter 14. Let's read the story where the Lord Jesus Christ was on the walking on the water. Let's see from verse 24. You all may know the story. The Lord Jesus Christ was purposely went to the mountain to pray. Told the disciples to go on to the other side, go on, get to the boat and go on to the other side. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, start your counting from 6 p.m. So that's where about 10 p.m. Some people thought it's like 4 a.m. No, it's 10 p.m. First, second, third, 1 hour, fourth watch will be 10 p.m. Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Won't you? Won't you? If you are in a boat and in the dead of night, you see somebody walking on the sea, coming towards you guys. Everybody thinks, ghost. How much more when things were around, they were seeing the wind, something is pushing their boats back, you know, so, and these are fishermen. They were seeing this before. So they all scream and say, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Well, that's comforting. It's I, be not afraid. But let's see the dear God that Peter we are talking about. This is faith, I'm talking about faith. Because when we say, what is faith? Faith must not be afraid. The enemy of faith is fear. That's the enemy of faith. Peter answered and said, Lord, If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Can any of you do that? Remember, Peter was a fisherman. So not that he didn't know what the sea meant. Well, he was a fisherman, he could swim. Maybe that gave him some boldness. Well, even if I'm drowning, I can swim and stay up. But no, he just wanted to prove that this thing worked. Is that Jesus? Are you sure? Tell me to come on the water. He didn't say, tell me to come and swim to you. No, tell me to come on the water. And Jesus Christ is like, say, dear God. He said, okay, you dare me? Come! And Peter stepped on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That's what I mean, dear God. Remember, there are about 12 apostles in that boat. What were the others doing? You know what you call it? They were called a transfigured and wounded. None of them dared do that. Why didn't they say, me too, me too, me too? The Lord would have said, yeah, you too, yeah, you too, yeah, you too. They could have all jumped on the water. But they didn't. They were more or less not surprised that Peter was walking on the water. Now, that was not the end of the story. You all know that is not the end of the story. But at least he was walking for some few minutes. Verse 30. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, oh, thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? Little faith is what Jesus Christ called it. So let's put that one and say that's one level of a little faith. If I have that little faith, I might be able to walk 3 feet on the water. So, little faith. Then he walked on the water for a few minutes. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ took him out of the water, he was not carrying him. Remember that? He was not carrying him on his shoulder to bring him back. He was holding his hand and he walked back into the boat. Little faith. Little faith. What about those 12, that the remaining 11 people? They have no faith at all. So it says zero faith, little faith. Now we're going to see some that have greater than little, and then what's called great faith. Let's look at the next story of somebody that the Lord said this is a great faith. Let's look at the story of this woman. So that's not just men, woman. In Mark chapter 7. So what does it mean to have faith then? After I tell you this and this and that, I'll tell you this example, then we say, let's analyze what faith really is. What faith really is. In Mark chapter 7, let's read the story of this woman, the Syrophoenician woman, we call her. She was not a Jew. From verse 25. A certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Jesus and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. So, in short, the logical called that woman a dog. Why? Because you are, it's like saying, oh, we don't, you are Mexican. No, we can't give it to Mexicans. Or you are black, because these people are white. You are black. No, it's not for black people. That's really what that woman, the woman was just not a Jew, not from their nation, but she was living around the same place, like a visitor. But the logical wanted to test our faith. So, no, we can't give the children bread and give it to the dogs. Many people will have said, me, you call me dog? Keep your money. Or keep your power. How dare you call me dog? But that's not what the woman did. This is what the woman did. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. So he said, what is faith in that? Tell me, what is faith in that? She wanted what she wanted. And she knew that this is the only person that can give it to her. And she was not going to take no for an answer. Have you heard that terminology before? Don't take no for an answer. When they say, no, I can't give it to you, you insist and you persist, is what another word God used. The Lord Jesus gave a parable of a woman in the Bible, I won't refer to that Bible verse, where this woman was a widow. She needed somebody to fight for her. So she went to the judge, and the Bible said that judge was, she didn't care for anybody, she didn't even fear God. That judge didn't fear God, didn't respect any man. So she, not that the judge was afraid of some dignitaries or some great men. He was not afraid of anybody. How much more this widow woman? But the widow woman came and said, you need to avenge me of my enemies. Some of people are bothering me here. You need to avenge me. And the judge just ignored her. Who is she? You have no money to bribe me. You have no prestige. Whose daughter are you that I can respect? It does not respect anybody. So the judge did not respect anybody according to that story. So then, but the woman persisted, is the story. She kept coming back, until she was bothering this judge. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, the judge finally said, this woman has bothered me enough. Even though I don't fear God, I don't fear any man, but this woman is bothering so much, I have to answer her just to keep her silent, so stop her from coming. And so she avenged her. And Jesus Christ said, that is how we should do when we are dealing with God too. He said, God is much more righteous than this unjust judge. Wouldn't God answer us? Will he just ignore us so long? No. He said, see that persistent. He's just teaching us persistent. So this woman that the logical caller a dog. So we can't give children's bread to the dogs. But the woman refused to take no for an answer. She said, well, even the dogs, they eat the crumbs. That means I will take the crumbs if you let me have the crumbs. And the legislators answered her and said, what? Verse 29, and he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. In the other rendering, which is in Matthew or Luke, in Luke, the legislator said, great woman, great is thy faith. You say, is that faith? Yeah. Christ called it, great is thy faith. She refused to take no for an answer. So we have no faith, we have little faith, we have another one. Christ said, great is your faith. Well, let's talk about some other group of people that have different, there are different categories, different levels of faith. What the Lord was teaching us is mindset when it comes to faith. You have to have a mindset. Either a mindset that says, no, I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm going to keep asking, I'm going to keep knocking, I'm going to keep insisting until I get what I want. And different children, even when you are raising children, you can know some children, some kids have that tenacity to get something. I know some of my kids that if they come and you said, I'm busy, they're hanging there and just stand there and keep until you are too busy, you just have to stop what you are doing and give them what they want. There are some kids like that. Some they will just go away as if they're too proud or too big for you not to tell them that, so they go away and they may not ask again. So you have to know every kid. But some that have this Christ said persistent. If you keep bothering him, he will come up and give it to you. The Lord gave so many examples of that also in the story of another man that said, a friend that went and knocked on the door, dead of man, and said, hey, my friend, I need bread. I just got a visitor. He said, don't bother me. It's too late in the night. I can't get out of the bed to come and give you bread. My kids are with me. I don't want to bother them. Jesus Christ said, even if he does not want to wake up because you are his friend, but if you keep knocking, don't get offended. Just keep knocking. Now you are going to wake up all the kids he didn't want you to wake up. Say, he will come and give you as many breads as you want just to get rid of you. So that is another mindset. You say, how do you set your mind to get something from God? Your mindset, very important. Now, we also talk about the top element, that is the greater faith, is the story of the centurion in Luke chapter 7. Let's go to Luke chapter 7 and see the story of the centurion. from verse 2. Now that is a different level of faith, but you have to think about what each person brings to the table. And the Lord called this one greater faith than the other one. From verse 2, Luke chapter 7, a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom you should do this. For he loved our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. So they kind of describe all the resume of this man. That, oh, this man, even though he was not a Jew, he was a Roman soldier, but he deserved to be helped. So they are trying to convince Jesus, but the Lord was going to show them something more. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that thou should enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come out unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So that man will say, I know what authority means. I know what authority means. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant all that had been sick. Now the Lord Jesus Christ said, this is great faith. So what did that man do that God called great faith? Because the greater your faith, the quicker you can get something from God. The quicker you can get something from God. We want to emulate this kind of people so that we can get something from the Lord anytime you are looking for anything. But what did this man do? He said, I understand authority. He said, I'm a man of authority myself. What does authority mean? You know, in the army, you have the generals and the majors and they all have rank. And if the general commands you, you have to do it. And if the captain commands this guy, they have to do it. There's punishment if you don't do it. And that man, knowing that hierarchy, you know that he dare not disobey. And the people under him dare not disobey. So that authority was the way he said, he watched Jesus from a distance and saw how Jesus Christ was casting the devils out. Looked like he saw that this man has authority in another kingdom. There's another world. Another world than what we can see. Because he's just talking to those spirits and they are coming out. Demons are coming out. So that was what he tapped in. He said, well, that authority means he is a ruler somewhere in another spiritual world. So he wanted to say, I know what authority means. You don't need to come over here. I don't need to go to that soldier. I can write a paper. Take it to that captain. He's centurion. Take it to the sub-captain. And they must do it. He said, I just need to speak, and they will do it. So he expects the logician can speak from that distance, and it shall happen. Well, that's a different level of faith. But what is faith? It's a mindset. What is your mindset when it comes to asking from the Lord? You can say, Lord, I asked for this, and I thank you, you've given it to me. And that's what he said we should say. Thanking him. After you say, I believe, I receive it, then you thank him. And the devil will try to bring it to your mind. Oh, he's not going to do it. But you say, no, I have asked. The Bible said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I have asked, and I believe. Thank you, Jesus. And throw away every thought, every idea the enemy is throwing at you. That is one mindset of faith. And if it seems to you that it looks like God is not answering, that's like the woman that seems to be called a dog. But you don't go give in, you don't give up, you keep insisting that I needed this. So that's another mindset. But this another level where you said, and the Lord recognized the fact that this man is saying, I know whom you are, I know your authority, I believe that authority, you can say from a distance. For a non-Jew to be saying that to the Lord Jesus Christ, that touched his heart and said, well, that is faith indeed. Different levels of faith. And like I said, it takes, you may say, well, how does that tie with mean their devil, their God, like I say. This level of faith, they are not, they want what they wanted. Other level of faith, they want what they said. Another level of faith that said, well, suppose he said from a distance and this thing does not happen, now you are putting him in fear. Anytime you begin to say, suppose, if, then you are entertaining fear. You are entertaining, you cannot entertain fear, you just believe. And faith is believing the impossible. Whatever you ask for, believing the impossible. Now I'm going to just go to how do we exercise faith when we really need it. Let's go to the story of David real quick. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, which is where I'm going to wrap it up. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is the story of David the king, before he became king, where he exercised faith, and how did he manifest that faith? What did he do? And I will just break down to 1, 2, 3 points that we can take home with us. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I will read the story of David and Goliath. Beginning from verse 22 or 23. You all know the story of David and Goliath. He was not in the army, so you know he was not part of the army. He was one, just a young man, maybe a teenager. So you see, you teenagers, that's why I'm bringing this story to you guys. So you teenagers can don't count yourself short. You are just somebody God wants to use. In anything, I was just talking to my daughter Sarah just some minutes ago. You have to know about faith and exercise your faith in small things, in little things, even in big things. Exercise that faith. But when you exercise it in the corners, in a corner, that is, in your little room, you exercise your faith and God honors it, you have some testimony. Then another situation occurs, you exercise that same faith. What is faith? Ask what you want, decree what you want to happen. See whether it will not happen, not see whether. Believe that it will happen, not say see whether. Believe that it will happen. When it happens, you have a testimony. That is what happened to King David. Nobody was there when he killed a bear. Nobody was there. Nobody was there when he killed a lion. He might tell his parents after it has happened. But suppose he was going, and that's, I'm going to begin to analyze it. Suppose when he was going to kill a lion, he stole his big brother. I said, a lion came and took our sheep. I'm going to go after the lion. What do you think his brother said? Don't go! You want to kill yourself? Or even if he told his daddy, daddy, a bear just came and took the sheep. I'm going to go after him. So are you crazy? Come back here! That's exactly what they would say, because they would discourage him from going. So he didn't tell anybody, he just went. Why? Dear God. I'm calling dear devil. He dared God. Why? Because he loved God. That's the first thing. You must be somebody that loved God. He was walking with God in his own way. Why? Because God already knew him. God already appointed. God had called him for a purpose. So it was not just daring God, he was actually walking with God. And the Holy Ghost was already moving inside him. So he was not going to take any no. You see that when he came to this story of David and Goliath, his big brothers were there as in the army. They were telling him to get back home. Go back home. What are you doing here? Just like the same thing I said, they will discourage him. So when he killed the lion, nobody was there. When he killed the bear, nobody was there. They could tell him after it has happened. And they will be saying, you dare? No, I don't think so. So I did it. They probably didn't believe it. Or they think the lion was sick. Or maybe it was a small lion. They give any excuse, but see, he did it. Now he was going to use the same testimony. I said, when you have done it in the corner, then you have some testimony that will help somebody else. When you have done it in your little room, you have a testimony that will help somebody else. And I'll give one quick example, because many times when we read all these stories in the Bible, some of the people that we tell is, just in those days. In fact, somebody came to my house a long time ago when I was still in Nigeria, a man like me, and somebody invited him, and he came back and I was trying to talk to him about the gospel. He said, look, those things were dead a long time ago. I said, no, it's not dead. He said, no, they were dead a long time ago. Never happened anymore. Then I started telling him my testimony. Testimonies of something about it. The man got fired and said, really? I said, yes, this Jesus is not dead. He's still alive. So that is what testimony will do, and that's why you have to have some testimony. Yeah. What you do in your corner, then you can tell it after it has happened. They say to do it in your corner, you must still have the same faith, the fearlessness that God puts in us that we call faith. Fearlessness. And the Lord honors that when your fearlessness is in God, not just the boldness of the unbeliever, no, every unbeliever. You can ask some of the friends in your school, say, are you bold? They say, yes, I'm bold. I can bloody fool the police. No, that's not the boldness you are talking about. Some people think they are bold if they throw stones at the policeman. No, we are not talking about that. Bold in God means that you are fearless and you are trusting somebody. Invisible. I have Jesus with me. And I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to go in the name of the Lord. That is the fearlessness we are talking about. Now, you see, well, these are hooligans, some bad boys there over there. They beat anybody that passed through the road. But you have to pass through that road. But you are a boy like them, but they are high school kids. You know some of them. They are the neighborhood gangs. And you're not one of them because you're a Christian. But you say they just beat that boy. If anybody passed by, they're going to beat him up. Are you going to terrify and go back home? Or you're going to say, oh, Jesus is with me. He has given his angel charge over me. I am going to confess the word of God. I'm going to go through there. What you decree by your faith in Jesus, Jesus will make it happen. But you must have that fearlessness in Christ that I'm going to go, Jesus, let's go together. We are going there. I'm going to pass. I'm not going to fight. I'm just going through. And you will see that somehow they are just looking at you and onto your pastor. And the next person tries to pass and they beat him up. Why didn't they beat you up? Because the angel of the Lord God with you. But you must have that fearlessness in Jesus now, not just boldness. I can handle them. No, I can beat them too. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about there is somebody with you that is greater than all. The angel of the Lord is with you. You believe in that. That is the fearlessness. You trust in that. That you have a God that is bigger than all these guys. And that fearlessness is what we call faith in him. That is making the story of David to be example for us here. So you know the story. David got to this army where his daddy said, oh, take the food to your big brothers. They are in the army there and get any information if they need some help. Bring their request. So David got there like a 17-year-old. He was not in the army. Wow, early in the morning, he saw that they are already ready to go to fight. So he said, here's my bag. Keep my bag there. He went to go and wash. But what did he see? Found all of them running back from this man here that seems to be a giant. And that was the story we are seeing here. So the Holy Ghost was upon David, you have to remember. And this is what he did. And we are going to look at how exercising your faith. I just give you an example here that when you have a hooligan that is beating up somebody, you're going to have to say, Jesus, let's go. I've got to go through this place. And then they must not, you have to decree what you want. And you see example of that in David. You decree what I want. I'm going to pass through this place and these hooligans will not bother me. You have to say it out. Not just thinking about it. You say it. You shall have what to say. Amen? You shall have what you say. Again, you shall have what you say. So there is saying involved in everything. Because if you don't say it, that means you don't really believe it. Because God is listening. God can be around you there, but he's listening. Are you going to say it? If I can put it in your mouth, say what you want. I'm going to go through these hooligans, and they are not going to hurt me. In the name of Jesus Christ. And then you begin to go. You shall have what you say. But if you just say that, and you say, I'm not sure, let me try first. And then when I get there, I'll say, well, no, God wants you to say it first. You shall have what you say. Now, you see example of that in this story of King David, that he said what he wanted happen after when he was about to get to Goliath. But let's go step by step. So he left his carriage in verse 22 in the hand of a keeper and ran to the place. Verse 23, and as he talked with them, behold, there came this champion called the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines. And he spake according to the same words. He has been doing that for, they say, 40 days. Coming every morning, we don't need to fight. Why are we fighting one another? Let's just make it a one-man show right now. I am the champion here. Bring me one champion from your side. Just one person against one person. If he wins and kill me, then we all serve you. If I win and I kill him, you all serve us. Right? Let's not fight. Let's not shed blood. But because of his height and his giant, nobody could face him. So everybody's scared. When he moved closer to them, you? No, not me. You? Everybody run back. So that was what was happening. Every day he said, you have been doing that for many days. Then David came just to watch and saw this thing happen. Who is this man? Also the first thing he was asking, who is this man? And they were telling him, oh, you better run back. You better run back. And verse 23. And as he talked with them, he saw this giant came. Verse 24 said, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And the king has already promised them, anybody that can take on this man, I will give him my daughter to marry. You know, these are all men, you know, they are soldiers. Some of them are young men that are not married yet. Some of them are married. But the king was now saying, well, any of you that can knock off this man, you marry my daughter. Almost like an incentive for them to take the challenge. But nobody would. They were not going to risk their life, not so. Verse 25. So they told the same thing to David that way. Even the king promised somebody that you do this, we do it, but David was not interested. Verse 26. And David spoke to the man that stood by him. What shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine and taken away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him back and forth, back and forth. Now his big brother, verse 28. Like I said, sometime your family members, your big brother, even your parents may be the one that say, no, don't risk your life. I don't see any parent that will let his daughter or his child go and risk their life. So something must be moving inside you. Something, Holy Ghost must be moving inside you. It has to be you and Holy Ghost. Amen? It has to be you and the Lord. It has to be you and the Lord. And when the Lord is moving like that, he's going to tell you, don't tell anybody. You just follow the Lord. They will hear the testimony after it has been, after the victory is won, they will hear the testimony. But when they see the process, they themselves are scared, they will try to dissuade the person. And this is what happened. The brothers, Eliab, the bigger one, said, what are you doing here? Verse 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart. But thou hast come down that thou might see the battle. So he was chastising or chiding with David with words. David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason why I come over here? So he turned away and turned to somebody else. Now, let's jump and go to the story after he got to King David, because they heard him talking to the soldiers. Somebody said, well, there's some boy here from town that is discussing about this Philistine. So bring him, get him out of here, bring him to the king. So they brought David to the king. David saw him, oh yeah, I remember, you look familiar. David was the one that was playing piano for the king, remember? But the king was so full of bees, too busy to even remember that was my pianist. Also. Too busy because he had seen too many young men recently. So he couldn't remember that this was my pianist. You know, if you are in the market, everybody is around, everybody is soldier, your guys are captain. Very soon, this other one, you can't remember, you see, because he's so full of too busy. So he just look familiar. And then he said, well, you can't go against this man. He said, well, David said, I will go against this man. I said, no, you're just kidding. You can't go against this man. Then David gave his testimony. I said, when you have been doing it in a corner, you will have a testimony. If you have faith and God has been answering your faith in a corner, then you have boldness to tell somebody that the Lord did this for me, he can do it again. Why is the same Holy Ghost? I said, many times we read these stories in the Bible, people think, well, that was in those days. It doesn't happen anymore. God can still answer your prayer and not can see. God still do answer your prayer. You just have to exercise your faith. Let me give a quick testimony. When we were playing tennis, some of my kids were playing tennis many years ago. And one Saturday, they just decided that they wanted to go and play tennis. Well, I didn't feel like driving. During that time, they couldn't drive yet. That was the first 3 kids. I just couldn't feel like driving. Okay, well, all right, I will take you over there. So I got into the car. Okay, get into the car. They got their tennis bags. And as we were driving close to the to the tennis court, the rain started dripping. I said, well, the rain is not going to allow you. I was kind of glad that the rain was about to fall, so I can go back home. I didn't want to really. But I said, well, if you guys really want to play, you have to stop this rain. Because I'm not going to stop the rain for you guys. But they were adamant they want to play. So I said, okay, if you are going to, if you want to play, you've got to ask this, the Lord, and the Lord just told me, don't pray, let them pray. They want to play, let them play. So I said, okay, well, you guys, you want to play tennis this afternoon, it's about 4 p.m., you play. So they gather in the tennis court, it's already dripping on the floor, and if it keeps dripping, that place will be too wet that they cannot play. So I said, you are the biggest among them, you pray for all of you guys, just say amen. So she took the prayer and said, la, 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 the Holy Spirit to serve in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen, say amen. And that thing just stopped. I mean, they just stopped. So I said, well, you see, I know that the Lord just wanted to surprise them. See, God sometimes will teach you by letting this thing happen so that you can know that God answers even you little kids' prayers. Amen? These are 12 years old now. Because my daughter then was, Joseph, my son was about 10, the other one is 11 and 12. I'm talking of 10, 11, 12 kids. And they are playing tennis together. So you see, God wanted them to know that He can answer their prayer, and they have been taught all these things. They have to take some steps. God could have been there, you see, command the rain, don't to fall. I'm a minister of God. No, no. God wants to know that even these little kids, they are just as equal access to God. You have equal access to the Lord, just like your parents or your pastor or some evangelist or your preacher anyway. You have equal access to the Lord. Jesus Christ died for all of us. The same blood of Jesus washed all of us. You have to believe that and then exercise that faith. Just say it, that I don't want this rain to run, to fall in Jesus' name. And I did that many years when I was still not married. That was not even rain. That was snow. And like I said, many people will not believe you. Don't worry whether they believe you or not. Just as long as you get what you wanted. I went to Germany in 1979, December. And you know, Germany is a place where there's snow every time. The whole place will be filled with snow. But I've now been to that type of the world. I just left Nigeria. The second time I will leave Nigeria. The first time I left in April, it was snowing still in London. This time I was to go the same year, December. I said, wow, it's really snow. And for Germany, what I know, I said, Lord, I didn't like the snow that I ran across. It was so cold, snow was making it worse. So I said, I don't want the snow. So I prayed and asked the Lord that I want the snow to be stopped all over Germany when I'm there, and I will be there for 6 weeks. And I was to leave Germany December 24. So I was staying with a widow woman. That's my testimony. I was staying with a widow woman who took me in a Christian church, and I told the woman, and I said, well, as long as I'm here, there will be no more snow. And they thought I was joking. And in fact, I preached it, because I went to a place where I preached, and the pastor invited me to another place, and I preached to them, and I told them boldly in the church that I have stopped the snow, I pray that the Lord stop the snow, and when I leave, I told the snow can do its worst. The woman that was interpreting said, well, I said, I thought you guys love snow. I said, well, they don't like snow. Well, if you don't like the snow, you better take control also of it. I have stopped the snow. I told the snow, when I'm gone, the snow will do its worst. And the snow was stopped throughout those weeks, 6 weeks. And December 24, when I was packing and I was about to go to the airport, my woman that was, I was staying with, the widow woman that I was staying with, she has heard about it since I started staying with her, that I said there will be no snow until I left. Then she looked out the window, she started seeing snow falling. He said, yo, Julius, it's snowing. So I said, well, yeah. I'm not gone yet. So no snow yet until I leave. And it was just some precipitation coming down. I said, no, until I leave, I'm still here. So I went to the airport and I left. Some of my friends, about six of us went from Nigeria for this training. Some of the other ones, they wanted to stay some two more days, so they stayed. But when they came back to Nigeria, they told me that the second day, which is Christmas Day, it was standstill all over Germany, standstill. I mean, snow was heaped up. As I told you, because I was telling them in the class, they said, because they knew me that I was a preacher. The new man was a preacher in Nigeria. So when we went together, and I was telling her there will be no more snow, because I've said there will be no snow in Jesus, and I've prayed about it, they were laughing. They mocked. But there was no snow. We traveled from the south to the north, no snow. And all the things. It was cold, of course. I'm just talking about that snow that it's like rain. If you've never seen snow before, it will be rain that will be raining upon you, but they have some powdery things. And they mount up, they can mount up to the point that you cannot even walk on it. So that was an example of a testimony that happened in 1979. Somebody said, what has the Lord done since 79? That was a challenge. Somebody came to here many years ago. And we are just talking. He said, you guys were talking about 30 years ago. What have you been doing in America? What has the Lord done since then? I mean, Nigerians always try to say, they when they are in Nigeria, they fast and fast and fast. That's why God is answering them. Saying, no, God is answering, not answering you because you are fasting. God is answering you because you belong to Jesus. As long as you belong to Jesus, if the situation occurs, you can also ask. Yes. Amen? It is for the sake of Christ that he's answering us, and that you have faith in this Christ. So you must maintain your faith in Christ. What has the Lord done? And the man walked out and said, if we just left Nigeria and come over here, we are just eating, no more walking with the Lord. I said, no, the Lord will still do it. When we're in Nigeria, look as if we are doing all of these things because we perhaps didn't understand that it is faith in Christ, not our fasting. It is the word of God, not our fasting. But we are putting it on the fasting that is what is making us get stronger and stronger. But it is actually obedience, faith in the word of God, obedience to Christ, and the Lord will still do the same thing because it is mercy of God through the faith in Christ that we have. So we went, during this Christmas time, we went to Maryland. And I pray, Lord, I don't want this rain. Because a week before we traveled for this Christmas season, they said there was ice on the ground, that there was a truck. It was in the news. A truck slammed on the ice and slided, and then there was on the freeway, and many cars, pile of cars, and many people died in the same Baltimore area where we're going. I read about that. I said, Lord, gee. And we had to travel. When we went for that place, I already planned that we needed to visit some colleges. One is in Virginia, which is about 2-hour drive, almost like going from here to Tucson or more. The other one is in another east part of Maryland. That's another 2-hour drive. And we scheduled that. The coach said, if you come, we will show you around the place. And that's for the coaches that wanted to recruit my daughter. So I said, Lord, gee, how can I drive 2 hours? If there is ice on the ground, that's dangerous. If there is snow, in fact, when there is snow, nobody will go out. Because it could be piled up so much that you have to either, nobody will scrape the roads. But you don't know what you're going to meet on the road. So I said, Lord, I just don't want that snow. And I don't want that icy road that they talk about. They say that's the worst than snow. So I just pray that it should not happen. Not only in Maryland, all over Virginia and Maryland, because that's where we're going to be. I don't want snow or ice. All the time we're going to be there. Just 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1.5 week. And the Lord honored that. The Lord honored that. Amen. The Lord said, if you ask and don't doubt. Ask and doubt not. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. We tell you that. But see, it is still faith. So we are talking about the story of David, that you have to declare what you want. You have to confess it. Now, all of this testimony I just gave to you, part of why God will honor it is what? You have to be confident enough to tell them that the Lord is going to do this because you have prayed for it, you have asked for it. If you are afraid, you better don't say it. Why? Because you may be disappointed. That means you don't believe. That means you don't believe. If you are afraid to tell. If the Lord tells you that, tell them, testify that you have prayed for the snow not to fall anymore. For the next 1 month. And you are afraid to tell them in the church where you are preaching. Because I was in the church and I was giving testimony, and that just came back to me that, by the way, I prayed and there will be no snow. And they said, well, we are going to pray the same way. You better pray because snow is going to fall after I leave this place. As going to be mad at the place. But that is the testimony that when God tells you to say, you better be confident that you believe enough to say it. If you are afraid, then God will withdraw, say you don't really believe. So your confession is part of believing. So let's see how David gave us that example. So all I have just told you of my testimony is just from this example of David. This is his example. When he went before King Saul, he first gave testimony that this is what the Lord has done for me in the corner. Like I said, if you have done it in the corner, you have a testimony to tell somebody. And the king had that testimony. The king thought, oh no, you can't do it. You are a young man. You have not even been trained in the army. How can you go and face this man that was a giant and has been in the army all his life? And then David gave his testimony that when I was keeping my daddy's sheep, there came a lion, there came a bear, and I went after the lion and grabbed that meat from his mouth. The lion rose against me and I tore the lion. The king said, what? Did what? Yeah, I tore the lion. And he said the same thing happened with the bear. That gave the king confidence that, go, the Lord will be with you. And David said, the God that delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from this Philistine. So that is the testimony I said. When you have testimony of little things, God will honor you when you want to exercise your faith in bigger things. Amen? Yes. Are you still following me? Yes. Are you still following me, you kids? Yes. Amen. So let's see what else he did. Now he was to face Goliath. And Goliath also confessed what he believed. He was believing in his own gods. So Goliath saw this young lad come, he said, and he saw him with what? A stick? Come with a staff, no? Like a stick, like you want, you use to drive the sheep, or the sheep, or the goats, and so on. And Goliath said, am I a dog that you are coming against me with a stick? And then he calls David. Now let's see where David confessed what he believed. Because I say you must confess it. When God puts it in your mouth and says, tell him what's going to happen to him. You can't shy away from that. You must confess it boldly, confidently. Let's read in verse 35 is where he was talking to the king and said, I went after the lion and I smote the lion and the bear. We are reading 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now he went before Goliath, and the Philistines saw him coming, verse 42, and he disdained him, and he was but just a youth. And he said to David, am I a dog that thou comes to me with staves? And the Philistine calls him. And he said, come to me, I will just get rid of you, give your body to the fowls of the air. Now, verse 45 is where I'm going. David has to confess his own belief too. You can't say until the Lord did it that they are confessed. No, you confess it before the Lord do it. So David said, thou come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Well, that's not enough. He said, this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. And I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. So he was already confessing what he will do, what will happen. That is what I mean by you have to confess it even before it happens. You confess it before the people, to the people, don't be afraid. Well, if I say it and it doesn't happen, I will be ashamed. No, it's not you that's going to make it happen. Just stand your ground and say what you want happen. And the Lord is listening that is going to make it happen. He said, if you don't doubt. So he was saying, this day I will do this. I will cut your head off and the Lord will deliver all of you into our hands. That is what he was doing. Verse 47. And he said, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our arms. So that confession before it happened is part of your faith. You must declare it. Remember that centurion that said to Jesus, just speak the word, my servant shall be made whole. Just speak from there. It's almost like the same thing. He's saying it that it will happen. Just speak, it will happen before it happens. So you must know that faith expects you to confess what you believe. And then after you confess it, act. So the first thing is give testimony to boost somebody else's faith, otherwise they won't let him go. If he had started giving that testimony, I don't think the king would be foolish enough to let a little boy go and kill himself. No, so. But when he gave the testimony, that gave confidence to the king that God of Israel can do anything. Most likely God sent this boy to us. Because this has been happening for the last 40 days. Now he gave the testimony. After you give the testimony, then you take the step, you confess what you want happen when you are facing the enemy. When you are facing the situation, whatever the situation could be. Let's say, for example, let me bring it down to the level of the little kids. You are in the school. You are going to do the exam. Everybody say, oh, this exam is so tough. The last year, everybody failed. Oh, the year before, everybody failed. And they make you terrified. That means, those brothers that say everybody failed, they are already saying they are all going to fail. That's when you should talk. Don't just listen and say nothing. Talk and say, well, everybody may fail, but I'm going to pass this one. You must say it. You understand what I'm saying? That is, if you don't say it, that means you don't believe your God, you are trusting. Everybody may fail, I'm going to pass this exam. And the same confidence that you say it, you are going to pass that exam. You see? Of course, you have been studying also. Those boys have been studying, but they have given up because everybody failed last year. And all the people failed the year before. But you say, they may all fail, but I will not fail. I'm going to pass this exam in Jesus' name. And that is how you say, you confess it before it happens. Then go for the exam and you will see that you will pass just like you said. Because the Bible says, you shall have what you said. So when David said what he said, the giant was mad and he came after David and David killed him. Just, you know the whole story. Let me go now and wrap it up with Mark chapter 11. Let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ told us. In Gospel of Mark chapter 11. Let's read these words of the Lord that I've been quoting right now in verse 23. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. The Lord was teaching the apostles and actually everybody about faith. From verse 22, Jesus answering said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, that mountain is any mountain, it's not just the physical mountain. Your exam that you want to do is a mountain. Or a sickness could be a mountain. Or it could be that somebody just lost a job and is looking for another job and there's no job in the market. Thousands of people are applying for this job. That may be a mountain. Whatever it is, you just pray. See, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. That's the first thing. Don't doubt in your heart. But shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. So two things. Whosoever shall do what? Say. That's why I keep repeating that you have to open your mouth and say something. He didn't say whosoever shall think. You don't pray to the mountain. He says say to it. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast to the sea. That's your command. But the point is you must not doubt in your heart. You must believe that what you say shall come to pass. You shall have what you say. Verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, what things ever ye desire, that's not for weak believers that pray to God. See, whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And of course, give us verse 25 that said, check yourself and make sure you are in tune with God. Say, when you stand to pray, forgive. Which means, check yourself, why will the Lord not answer you? Why will he not answer you? That's one of the reasons he said, if you want to pray, when you stand to pray, forgive anybody has done hurt against you. Just check yourself and say, Lord, I forgive all my enemies, I forgive all everything that hurt me, and I'm in right standing with God right now because I've forgiven them in my heart. Then believe what you ask for and you will receive it. Amen? So you say, well, I don't know whether God will answer me. Well, just check that forgiveness part. If you can look clear yourself and say, I don't have anybody against me. I've not hurt anybody. Nobody has hurt me. I forgive them all. Then freely ask and don't doubt and you shall receive what you have asked for. Amen? Let's pray. Let's just stand up and pray. Let's exercise our faith in anything. If you have anything you have been praying for, just begin to exercise that faith. You want to exercise your faith, let's do that act, what you call it, this is our own, the faith life where you want to decree something. You decree it, open your mouth. If you have anything you really want to ask for, ask the Lord to do, you are going to do it. Nobody needs to lay hand upon you. Nobody needs to pray for you. But we are trying to say, know these three steps. Confess it, believe it, act. Your action now is to ask. Ask. Whatever you want to, whatever you want the Lord to do for you, ask. And you shall receive that your joy may be full. Ask. Open your mouth and ask. Anything you want to ask the Lord, just ask right now. I don't need to pray it and say, Lord, give us. Nobody need to pray for you to give you faith. You already have the faith. Now just ask. Doubting nothing. And the Lord that you are talking to is listening, because he came with us here this morning. So we are two or three are gathered together in my name. There, my name is Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the few exhortations of faith, and help us to be able to exercise. As we exercise it, let the answers come. Let your name, Lord, be glorified, because you are good. And it's your mercy, because we belong to Jesus Christ, that you are answering us. Blessed be the glory of the Lord our God forever and ever. It is not because of who we are, but it is because of whose we are that he answered us. Because of whose we are, we belong to Jesus, so he will answer us. Because we are his children, by being children of Jesus Christ. He says he has given us the blessing of Abraham. We are inheriting the blessing of Abraham, who is the father of faith. And as long as you are a man of faith, a child of faith, a woman of faith, God will always answer. Because we are inheritors, we have inheritors of the blessing of Abraham. Father, we thank you, Lord. We worship you, we glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.